It is another edition of Pittsburgh Pop, along with Rob Owen from TV Talk and TV Q&A. I am Tim Benz from Breakfast with Benz. Rob, how was your week?
It was good, but busy getting ready for vacation.
Where are you heading this time?
To Denver, although, darn it, it doesn't look like I'm going to get to go to Casa Bonita. Do you know Casa Bonita?
Wait, Casa Bonita, that's from South Park.
It is. It is a restaurant in Denver in an old strip mall that used their space used to be a two-story like JCPenney or something. It's been there since the mid-70s. It has everything. Puppet shows, Black Bart's Cave, an arcade, a piñata, a magician, and cliff divers. There are actually cliff divers who dive from a cliff into a pool beneath.
Wait,
anyway,
hold on a second. Did Trey Parker and Matt Stone actually build this?
Well, no, they didn't build it. They went there as kids. And so then they did an episode of South Park where Cartman goes there. I think it was season one of South Park.
It actually exists. Oh, all right. Okay.
But then the restaurant closed in the pandemic and Matt and Trey bought the restaurant, spent $40 million rehabbing it.
$40 million.
Yep. Last December, they announced it was going to open in May. We have family in Denver. So I said, okay, we're going to go in June so we can go back to Casa Bonita, take the kids, yada, yada. Well, it's now the end of June and you have to have won a ticket through a lottery in order to get a link to get a reservation. Anyway,
it's like Taylor Swift tickets.
It is. Casa Bonita is the Taylor Swift of Denver for sure. 100%. And sadly, we did not win the lottery. I was going to even do a column about it because of the South Park tie, but it looks like we will be Casa Bonita-less on this Denver trip, I'm afraid.
Okay, now I'm getting my South Park episodes conflated here. Was that the one where Cartman won it and kept it open just for himself? Or was that, I think that was actually like an amusement park, right? Casa Bonita started with one of the kids' birthday parties.
It was a birthday party, and everything that they had in the episode is 100% correct. At one point, Cartman raises a flag on the table and says, "More sofa pias, please." And that's exactly what you do at Casa Bonita.
All right. Well, next time I go to Denver, I'm definitely going to try to get in there. And I might have to just like bring Jamie's nieces with me so I can have a kid so it doesn't look totally stupid. But,
you'd be fine on your own. People in Denver love it. That's why there are 100,000 people on the list trying to get into the place.
$40 million. I mean, my God, that's what the renovations at Acrisure Stadium are probably going to be if they don't build a new stadium. $40 million.
Yep.
Wow, when they joke about South Park money at Comedy Central, now I know what they're really talking about.
Exactly.
All right, so some local stories, Rob. The Bachelorette has a local tie, and so does Summer Baking Championship. Let's start with that one first, because I'm intrigued. What are we making on Summer Baking Championship, and is there a Pittsburgh tie to the actual dish?
Like a giant
cookie table or something like that.
It's mostly cakes, and more cakes on Summer Baking Championship. Not 100%, but largely. And Zoe Pekich, who I wrote about when the show started, she's from Mount Washington. She is the pastry sous chef at Ritual House in downtown Pittsburgh. And she has made it all the way. She is in the finale. She is one of three people vying for the top $25,000 prize. The finale airs tonight, Monday, June 26th. And we'll see how she does in that. She's done quite well so far. Last week, they had an episode. So it's Food Network is owned by Warner Brothers Discovery, which is doing the Barbie movie. So they had a Barbie movie themed challenge where they had to make cakes that look like toys, like Barbie cake. And so hers was a pistachio cake. And Duff Goldman, one of the judges, complimented it right, left, and center, talking about how much it looked like a toy. And then they also all loved the taste of this pistachio cake. So she's on a roll. She's doing really well. Tonight they have to make a 4th of July parade cake. So we will see how that turns out and if there's any references to anything Pittsburgh in that or in the preheat challenge.
What about The Bachelorette?
So we have a competitor from Pittsburgh on The Bachelorette. His name is Tanner Courtad. He's a 30-year-old mortgage lender from Pittsburgh. We talked about him a few weeks ago that he was on the show. I have since been able to watch tonight's episode. And, you know, we have typically not had Pittsburghers go very far in The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. But we'll see. This one,
it's a conspiracy, Rob. It's a conspiracy. It's
I'm sure it is.
Roger Dale doesn't want the Steelers to win.
I'm 100% sure that's it. So we'll have to wait and see if he makes it beyond the first episode tonight. But I sort of think that he might do fairly decent because, according to a spoiler site, he may be back for Bachelor in Paradise down the road. I don't know if that's true, but that is the rumor, that he is a cast member for a future installment of The Bachelorette. But we'll see. We have to see how he does in the The Bachelor universe. We have to first wait and see how he does in The Bachelorette tonight.
Hey, speaking of universes, and
yes,
I know that you were aware of this. I was not. I'm not someone who watches the show, although I'm thinking now that I've gotten through The White Lotus, this might be my next deep dive. But for folks who watch Yellowstone, Matthew McConaughey might be part of the next iteration of Yellowstone, whatever that might be, if it's a pickup of where Yellowstone was, or if we're going to invent another year, I don't know, 1883, 1923, whatever. But is he going to be involved in this, Rob? Is that official?
It's not official, but it's rumor official. How about if we call it that?
Rumor official. Okay. It's like Facebook official.
Yeah, he's certainly been in a conversation with Paramount and with, I presume, Taylor Sheridan about having a role in a Yellowstone series, a series that will have Yellowstone in the title. Whether or not it will port over characters from the existing Yellowstone, because I think it will be contemporary. I don't think it will be one of the prequel series necessarily. Although, again, we don't know. But Kevin Costner is donezo. He wants out, and I think they want him out at this point. So I presume they will kill off John Dutton, his character. And then how exactly McConaughey figures into it all, we don't know yet. And until ink is dried, you know, it's still somewhat speculative, but it is widely speculated that, yes, McConaughey will become part of the Yellowstone universe in some way, shape, or form.
Before I get off of it, spoiler alert here for anybody who hasn't seen the end of the second season of White Lotus. I watched it. I finally got through it.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I'll talk about it here again. Spoiler alert for people who want to jump around, come back, say 5 minutes later in the podcast. But I thought one thing that they did well in the second season was make it look like any group of those people could have been the bodies at any time that they talked about in the opening scene of episode one. I thought they crafted the possibility that anybody could kill anybody on that show
quite
well. I thought they did that very well. I am surprised they got rid of Jennifer Coolidge's character. I'm very surprised at how they did it, especially since she seemed to get herself out of that mess and then ended up dead anyway. I want to know who they bring back for the third episode. Do you know, is it an entirely new cast, or are they bringing back some holdover characters? Because the one thing I didn't like at all is that Greg, Jennifer Coolidge's husband, didn't come back to find that his mess was still a mess, that it didn't get fixed up by his friends.
My sense is, based on what I've heard from Mike White, the writer, creator of the show, and some other folks, we don't know yet who's back for the third season. There are rumors out there about some characters from season one possibly returning in season three. But it sounds to me like there will be some sort of comeuppance maybe for Greg, or that I don't think he's necessarily going to leave that unresolved forever, but we'll see. I was also surprised they killed her off, especially the way they did it. I think Mike White called it a derpy death. She was a derpy character. It was definitely a derpy death. But I kind of ultimately I liked that about it. Just the fact that she has become sort of a gay icon, and it was the gays that did her in. I thought that was pretty hilarious the way they came up with that storyline. So I don't know. I I did not love the first half of season two of The White Lotus as much as I did season one. It was a little lighter on humor, and you know, the focus was less on class as it was in season one. But I really liked the back half of season two of White Lotus quite a bit.
One thing that I've determined is I don't care what the series is about. I don't care if it's about space and Star Wars or about cowboys and Indians or about nature and the evolution of the dinosaurs. I don't care what it's about. I want F. Murray Abraham and the guy who played Cameron to narrate everything. They have two of the best voices in Hollywood. Yeah. Cameron's voice, I mean, let alone the fact that he's, you know, an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of good looks and all that. I mean, like, he was the perfectly cast character.
Yeah.
But I could listen to him read the phone book and it would sound interesting. He's got incredible pipes.
And he had a he was using an American accent.
Yeah, he's English.
Yeah, he's British. Yeah, Theo James. He's a good actor. I think he was in some of the Hunger Games movies, I think.
Oh,
could
okay.
be wrong, all but right. I think.
F. Murray Abraham too. He's
got, yeah. Yeah, they were both great in it. And I really liked I thought Aubrey Plaza was great because she was not 100% the usual Aubrey Plaza. She was actually as opposed to sort of being her sardonic self, which I appreciated. And then the actor who played her husband, Will Sharp, he's actually mostly known as a director in England who also acts sometimes. I'd never seen him before. I thought he was great too.
Last thing before we go, let's get to these two topics. And one of them is The Bear. The other is I'm a Virgo. It seems like I got to get in on The Bear. What's The Bear about? Because it's being talked about all over the place.
Yeah, so it is an FX-produced series for Hulu. It first came on last summer. It's set in a kitchen in Chicago at a restaurant called The Beef, and Jeremy Allen White plays the lead character, Carmi Burzotto, hence The Bear. And Carmi is a chef who is extremely well-trained, and he's trying to take this kind of grimy lunch counter and turn it into something more. Following the suicide death of his brother. And so it is a half hour show, mostly. It is being positioned as a comedy in the Emmy awards consideration, but it's not super funny. It has its funny moments, but it's much more a drama, a half hour drama, I think. It's extremely intense. The kitchen scenes, like, will give you a heart attack watching them. But it's well done. It's well written. One of the actors who plays Ibrahim, he is from, well, he's not from Pittsburgh, but he lived in Pittsburgh for a while. Edwin Lee Gibson, that's his name. And he plays Ibrahim, who sort of is this very quiet character, sort of mysterious. So there's that Pittsburgh connection. In season two, Gillian Jacobs, who is the longtime partner of the show's creator, Chris Storer, she comes in and has a recurring role, a significant character to one of the series regulars on The Bear. I like it. It's probably not for everyone, but it's quite well done for sure. And season two, it really builds on season one, is different enough to be fresh, but because he's sort of really building out the fine dining restaurant in season two, whereas season one is just more chaos in the kitchen. Season two, the chaos comes back eventually, but it's not there from the jump in quite the same way.
And how about I'm a Virgo?
I'm a Virgo is a show on Amazon Prime Video from a director named Boots Riley. It is about a 13-foot-tall black man. It's a little bit Pushing Daisies, a little bit Tim Burton, but with a darker edge. It's weird. It is kind of gonzo guerrilla filmmaking, but it doesn't 100% work. It's kind of messy. Like, they start ideas and then don't follow through with them sometimes. But I appreciated it for how different it was. And it's wild too. Like, when the 13-foot guy gets a girlfriend who's a gnat, trying to depict that relationship is kind of nuts.
All right, Rob, appreciate the time. We will do it again next week. And we have a special guest for next week's podcast, don't we?
Yes, Heidi from Survivor. She came in second in the most recent season of the CBS series, and she's going to join us to talk about Survivor, sort of her thinking on it now that she's had some time to reflect after all the episodes have aired, and her strategy and what she recommends if you are looking to apply to be on the show.
All right, we'll do that when we come back next week in advance of the 4th of July. Until then, this is Pittsburgh Pop. Oh, what do you have coming up in TV Talk and TV Q&A, Rob?
Sure. So TV Q&A is coming up on Wednesday online, and somebody asking about who are the WPXI weekend anchors after the departure of Ryan Houston or Houston. I'm not quite sure how he pronounced that. And then in TV Talk, there's a new Apple TV Plus thriller starring Idris Elba, Hijack. It is a series.
I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty good. So if you like thrillers, I think that's one that is probably worth checking out. And I'll have more about that in TV Talk later this week.
All right. Enjoy Denver, even though you can't go to Casa Bonita, but maybe next time. And you can swing by some of my favorite breweries. You can go to Avery. You can go to Yeti, which is Great Divide. You can do that one. You can do Oscar Blues, Boulder Brewing. If you are a beer aficionado, I don't know if you are or not, but there are plenty of places along the way in Denver where you can get yourself lost.
We will definitely be looking for some good places to eat and drink.
All right. We'll be back next week here on Pittsburgh Pop.